Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back once again. The show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, as well as 1798part2.org, as well as republicreview.org. You are listening to the only show that is going to provide you with the solution as well as the process of what we need to do to getting the federal government back into compliance. The only other show you're going to find is probably my local show, which that's in the Spokane area if you live there. You are listening again to Red State Talk Radio, and the number to call in here is 215-867-8255. And most of the people that have listened to the show for a long time, and I thank you for doing so, and I want to thank you for getting the word out as more and more people are tuning in. If you understand what I'm trying to do, then you need to understand that the message must get into the hands of your state legislators. I've had a lot of conversations with lots of people, and we always kind of go around this circle that we need to get everybody educated on this. I'm not going to argue that, but we don't have time. It took Moses 40 years to change the culture of Israel. We don't have 40 years. Moses also had unattested access to those Israelites out in the wilderness. He didn't have the mainstream media. He didn't have a national education indoctrination centers, what we call the schools. He didn't have a Hollywood or entertainment system that was driving down all sorts of, let's just say, bad influences and bad ideologies and mind models. That being said, because he had unattested access, it still took him 40 years to change the culture of Israel. It is not going to be something that we can easily do quickly. But what we can do is we can get government, just like that, realigned into the constitutional framework. Now, I snap my fingers, but okay, it won't be really that fast. But it can be quick and effective if our state legislators do their job. That is why I'm only really focused on actually educating the 7,383 state legislators out there that actually have the authority to call out the federal government. So that's why this show is actually dedicated to supporting getting those types of leaders in position so that they can literally do their job. And so I'm really not focused. I get lots of people that, oh, well, have you talked to our congressperson, or did you know our senator might be pretty receptive? In all honesty, I really doubt that there's going to be any person in federal government that will be interested in watching us actually peel apart all the unconstitutional powers that they're executing. So apart with this, or in addition to my dedication to those state legislators, that means that we actually have to get to work with those, and we get, I don't mean get to as in have to, we have a great and humble opportunity to working with grassroots leaders in each of the states. Bottom line, those who are willing to commit to protecting those constituents that they, you know, that they live in within their neighborhoods or communities or wherever they have constituents, what that really means is that they're willing to protect all of us from federal tyranny, not just their constituents. Because when you stand up against the beast, you're literally standing up for all of us. And that is what we're all about. And that's why it is so important to getting there. It is my primary focus. As you know, I could always gravel, so let me do a little groveling, I should say. And so we could use your help. If you go to theconstitutionclub.ning.com, sign up, you can actually become a part of the wave of emails that will be going out to state legislators. So please make sure you sign up before the end of the year. In doing that, there will be emails coming forth that will literally, scripts and so forth, that will literally be able to overcome, or I should say maybe overwhelm, a lot of state legislators and getting them to start thinking about repealing the 17th Amendment and so forth. So those are some focuses that are going to be done with the constitutionclub.ning.com. If you want to help us directly, send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. That way you can use your computer, your phone, and actually get to work in getting organized. There's lots of states. We've only got a couple that we've really started digging into. And we've got a few people in each, but we could use more. And if you want to lead, I mean, there may be somebody in your state already, but maybe not in your county. Please let us know, and we will get you engaged. I will say this. If you start communicating with me, your email is not going to go into some spam list where I'm going to just be spamming. As a matter of fact, I've got thousands of emails, and you can probably talk to anybody that really knows me. They don't get a lot of emails from me. I'm way too busy to sit down and send out these power emails of informing people and help me and send me money and that type of stuff. It really isn't about that. It's really about just, you know, communicating on what is really important and getting that information out there. So anyway, as you know, one way of getting involved is tuning in. So thank you again. And as we get this show kicked off, as I looked through the news, there is no sign that the federal government is going to be disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And that means it's up to us, my friends. We're going to have to do it. So before we really dive into a few things I wanted to dive into today, I just had to inject myself into Justice Roberts' retort on Trump's Twitters and comments and so forth regarding the court and the judiciary. And I just find it ironic that Roberts is standing up and basically saying there is no Trump justices and Obama and Bush justices and Clinton justices. There are just justices. And so this really shows the ignorance of this person and his ideologies, because bottom line, you and I know that there are ideologues out there, and a lot of them sitting in the court are actually, ruling their agendas, ruling with agendas, and ramming agendas down our throat. And so either Roberts is ignorant to this fact, or he's trying to literally obfuscate the reality because that he doesn't want people to really know that, oh yeah, they've got agendas. And, you know, you got to look at who appointed him. He was a part of the establishment appointee. So I honestly think that there will probably be some breakouts. Again, Clarence Thomas is probably the only one that from the old school, him and Alito, that are literally those old guards that probably have the most time on the bench, understanding what's going on and so forth. Because, you know, obviously Gorsuch and Kavanaugh are new, but I will tell you that there's no doubt in my mind that you could probably find Alito and Thompson or Clarence Thomas to speak to the fact that there are ideologues sitting on the bench and that they have driven agendas down our throats. So anyway, let me get back to yesterday's show, because bottom line, what we need to start doing, as I was talking about the political energies and so forth, we have to adapt and adjust to overcome our problem. And we have to adapt and adjust to the source of the problem with regards to political energy. And the best way to do this and how we can save our republic is really looking at what the, let's just call it the elephant in the room. We literally have to start helping the party focus, because these are the changes the party needs. They need to focus. We need to help them control the political servants, and we need to help them gain teeth in that control. And I've talked about this before. I put a few memes out there, and I know that every once in a while I kind of offend somebody, but that's okay. You know, I happen to have grown up in the time where sticks and stones can break my bones, but words really never hurt me. And I don't try to take offense. I just try to provide clarity to people. But anyway, I actually had a run-in, and this was with a millennial. And the ironic thing was, is that my post was about Thanksgiving. It was literally a meme and a summary of my last Friday show regarding how our very first Thanksgiving, and when I mean our very first, I mean this Constitutional Republic, as soon as the government stood up, the very first year it was operating in 1789, George Washington did that proclamation as requested by both houses and unanimously by both houses of Congress. And so what ended up happening is that, Washington asked and proclaimed that we set aside one day, of a very particular day, the Thursday of Thanksgiving, or the fourth Thursday of November, which is our Thanksgiving, how we celebrate it today. And we're supposed to set it aside for service. It wasn't about food. It wasn't about pilgrims. It was about recognizing the divine hand of providence in giving us this Constitution and giving us this Republic, giving us peace and tranquility. And so it just kills me that these millennials, they go, you're not being inclusive with this, all this other stuff. You know, I'm not being inclusive with Kwanzaa. There's a lot of festivals and Thanksgiving holidays and so forth that are out there. But this is very specific. This is our very first, the one that set the tone for this republic. And that's why that meme is out there. So I'm hoping that you enjoy it. And I'm hoping we begin to change our paradigms in looking more to serving others instead of serving our faces on Thanksgiving. I'll be right back after this.
Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
So let me also lunge forward into it seems like we're just going to be going into 2 years of hypocrisy until 2020. If you haven't noticed, it seems like the progressives are hell-bent on investigating email servers with Ivanka Trump and everything else and investigating every possible thing they can. And it's it seems like this is truly hyperbole, because there is, I mean, in every case from Benghazi, where four Americans died, and with Hillary's email gate, where she actually had classified material and that she had it printed out. I mean, there was a slew of security violations. I mean, these aren't minor security violations because of the level of classified information. These were egregious violations. And so just get ready for 2 years of hypocrisy and the fact that the progressive mainstream media is going to be grinding Trump to the bone. This goes back to the meme and to what I was saying last week. I have a meme on mobistrippress.com. It's on Facebook. So go to Facebook, Mobistrip Press. And I have a big meme that kind of talks about, doesn't even talk, kind of, it does talk very specifically about the 14th Amendment and how the freedom of the press is not applied to the states. I'm not the only one that understands this. And so if you understand that the states can actually start forcing standards upon the press and defining them, then we would have a much better outcome from our journalism. But we've given them a complete carte blanche or laissez-faire approach to whatever they want to do, whatever. And we've got to stop that. We have to force them into either being tabloids and not recognizing them as press, or they become objective journalists and make sure that they provide all sides and all angles of every story. It's one thing to editorialize, but not everybody is an editor or a commentator over all of the different views that are out there. So keep in mind that the states can reel this in, and then maybe Trump will start doing more trips outside of the Beltway so that he can actually go into places where the press has been defined, and you won't find guys like Acosta and so forth in there where they're just dancing on the string for the organ grinder who's playing the tune. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to point out is it looks like Pelosi is going to make another comeback. It is almost like the invasion of the zombies. I mean, more life is coming into Pelosi, it seems like. She's given us such good sound bites and such good insights on how we can get a good laugh out of the imbecility of the left, especially from her. But anyway, one of the things I wanted to talk about, and this actually came in yesterday, there was a story regarding the Skid Row voter fraud. And I think I mentioned this a little bit, but prosecutors say homeless have been offered cash, cigarettes in exchange for hundreds of signatures. An alleged voter fraud scheme in which Skid Row's homeless were being offered, this is in LA, been offered money and cigarettes in exchange for false and forged signatures on ballot petitions and registration documents. It has been uncovered, obviously, in Los Angeles, and the prosecutors had announced that yesterday. The district attorney says that it's charging 9 people in total with felony accounts related to the offenses, which are said to have happened during the 2016 and the 2018 election cycles. Apparently, as everybody said, there is no voter fraud. This is just a tip of the iceberg. This is what they caught because it was so flagrant. The defendants are accused of engaging in the solicitation of hundreds of false and or forged signatures on state ballot petitions and voter registration forms. And so they were literally offering homeless people $1 and or cigarettes for their participation. You know, Madison was very enraged with the fact that he had to buy drinks to get people to vote for him. And he lost his first election because he refused to do so. And so eventually they actually made it against the law to be able to buy votes. How is it not buying a vote when politicians come up and say, I'm going to give you free health care? How is that not buying a vote? How is it not buying the vote to say, we're going to make sure that you have, you know, a better unemployment insurance or more food for your food stamps? That is all buying votes. It's pretty simple. And as a matter of fact, I would like to actually start seeing people prosecuting any politician that literally comes out and makes promises with the public purse. I can't believe that we can't make that. It's not even a leap. It's just connecting the dots. It's about going in front of a judge and literally pointing out to the judge that here's a person that's offering things from the public purse to get elected. That is bribery. That is extortion. That is corruption. So another thing to consider about that has actually come into the news cycle was that there were 40 supposedly ghost-faced gangsters who were white supremacist gang members indicted in the DOJ. And so this is what they called Operation Vanilla Gorilla. And so they got the name moniker from some gang members who proudly wear that type of name. And so, and this was, again, like I said, this was in Georgia. And I understand that we have white supremacists. We have these black separatists. We have a lot of racist and bad players in America. And it seems like, I don't know what these guys are doing and what they were arrested for, but it just seems like they want to focus, or the news only is reporting on the white supremacist and the problem with them, because they're not reporting, you know, the BLM or the Farrakhan, you know, nationalists, or I should say separatists that they are. Or so the La Raza's and the radical perspectives that they are offering and have out there. Why is it that it seems like what is percolating in the news is the white supremacist side? It eludes me as to why and what the heck the mainstream media is doing. Is it eluding you? Or maybe this is a part of the narrative to ensure that we maintain this perspective, or that they drive this perspective in our forefront or in our vision of, oh, you know, it's the white supremacy. We're the bad guys. And that's just a bunch of crap. I'm okay with the fact that they just put it all out there, but they don't put it all out there. They only put out what they want, and it's called filtering and biases. And so the day they start actually honestly reporting and the day they start providing objective journalism is, you know, the day they can start obtaining credibility. This only supports my perspective that states should set up. It's this easy. States should set up something like a jury duty. Instead of you going and sitting on a jury, what you do is you go in for 2 weeks and you have to spend 2 weeks of time going through newspapers. So, yeah, you better be literate, or at least better be able to read. You better be able to watch TV. That way, when you watch the, you know, they force you to watch for 8 hours a day the news cycles from the recorded shows of the local TV or what have you. And then you determine if they're providing all sides of the angle or all angles of the issue. And so as you're sitting there watching, the jury pool, if it's about guns, then they should say, okay, or they should be telling you, are they presenting only the negative aspect of guns? Are they showing you the negative and positive and neutral sides to gun ownership, gun use, and so forth? Because as I see it, they're only reporting and they're only going down the path of providing a very specific narrative. And when they're doing that, that means that they're basically trying to indoctrinate, inculcate, and get you to think the way they want you to think. Which means journalism is dead, and as these jurors or these reviewers of the news cycle actually start looking and determining whether they're objective journalists or whether they are just tabloids, if they are deemed as tabloids, like your local newspaper is deemed, like ours here, the Spokesman Review, if it is deemed as a tabloid, then it doesn't have the credentials of getting press access to, you know, any events or what have you. They may be able to get event. You know, I mean, if, let's say they want to allow them, but they don't have to. And as a matter of fact, once you're a tabloid, I believe that you should be having to pay for your credentials and having to pay for access. Free access goes to the free press of objective journalism, who is literally doing the public a service in providing, you know, unbiased information so that people can be informed and make the most informed decision. Doesn't that make sense? And as a matter of fact, I believe that's precisely where we need to go with this. Anyway, I will be back after this hard break. So please stay tuned. And I actually have more regarding that Trump email scandal. So we'll be right back after this.
Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. So let me be very clear. Apparently, the Democrats, I guess it's Elisha or Cummings. I think it's Cummings. He's going to lead, I believe, on the oversight committee to investigate Ivanka Trump and her husband, Jared. And it seems like they are literally going to take a scorched earth approach. And in some ways, I really hope they do. I hope that they hold the Trumps to the letter of the law. But what is important is that we maintain and understand that this is hypocrisy, because they did not follow the letter of the law when it came to Hillary Clinton and Obama and everybody else that has been violating. And this only speaks to the fact that they're going after, with a scorched earth approach, they're going after those who seem to be actually upsetting and disturbing the swamp or the deep state. I truly believe, and I'm hoping, I'm praying that Trump finally gets a good hold on the Justice Department and finally gets all of the people he needs into his cabinet, because he still doesn't have his cabinet seated and formed. because the Senate has been nothing, the Democrats in the Senate have been nothing but obstructionists. So with that, I'm hoping that he actually gets the right complement of people engaged and seated so that they can actually start going after all of these corrupt Democrats like Maxine Waters. Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch literally came out and questioned the fact whether Waters is going to be eligible, or not even eligible, whether she is fit for duty. As a matter of fact, I know it came out earlier today. Maxine Waters unfit to chair House Financial Services. So it is very clear that the Democrats are on a warpath, and I'm hoping that they really take the letter of the law side of this, because that to me will force Trump to take the letter of the law side as well to the Clintons, to Obama, and everybody else, because it's about time we start sending these criminals to jail. Why is it that there is a class of people that are above the law? And many of them are over there in the Democrat side of Congress. I think many of the Republicans checked out this past election because, 40-some-odd seats became vacated because they didn't want to be around anymore? Well, there's no doubt in my mind that those that vacated definitely had an effect on the takeover. But as far as the Democrats that are taking over, yeah, it is Elijah Cummings from Maryland. And basically, he's becoming the chairman, and he is wanting all the information he possibly get, and he's going to be digging into their email accounts to find out if they're conducting official administration business. You know what? I want to see them hold the letter of the law, and that will force Trump to literally go after everybody else by the letter of the law. This is what Cummings said. He says, "We've launched a bipartisan investigation last year into the White House officials' use of private email accounts for official business, but the White House never gave us the information we requested." Well, I mean, who else is giving up any information? The State Department wasn't giving up any information. The FBI wasn't. Anyway, Cummings goes on and says, "We need those documents to ensure that Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner and other officials are complying with the federal records." And, you know, if you understand this, it's the Presidential Record Act. It's not something that just went into law. That thing's been around since 1978, and it was on the heels of Nixon, so that they wouldn't have any obfuscating and any shenanigans based on the president. And so I would love to see the fact that they actually hold people to the letter of the law. I cannot say that enough. What I'm really looking forward to is forcing Trump to actually make Hillary, Bill, and everybody else do the perp walk. It's time to clean it up, folks. But if you really want to clean up Washington, D.C., the best way to do that is to call for the audit and literally get the states to perform the audit or republic review. In doing that, you'll be able to peel all of this unconstitutional government away, and you won't have any other opportunities down the road for them to start obfuscating, because at this point in time, I think we're done. I believe once we get this done, we will be done. Anyway, I also wanted to talk about Trump's unconstitutional call to clean the ocean. I think it is interesting that you find in the news today that a dead whale in Indonesia has yesterday, they found 13 pounds of plastic waste in the stomach of this whale. And I think it was a sperm whale. And they had, you know, bags, plastic bottles, sandals, plastic cups. I mean, they were even counting how many cups were in there. So if you really understand that they're trying, the news is making this as big of a news because it fits the agenda, it fits the narrative, right? This literally nails down the need for cleaning and saving our planet. And here, President Donald J. Trump has committed to literally cleaning up, unconstitutionally, he's committed to cleaning up the ocean, but that doesn't do it. That's not good enough. They want to continually grind their agenda and basically try to say, we're all guilty. We all need to be controlled and we all need to be put in stockades. I don't believe that we are really the problem. I believe it is the progressives that are really the problem because, again, the ends justify the means. And when you start looking at ClimateGate, when you start looking at all of the bad data and all of the cheating, the deceptions, and so forth, the ends justify the means. So I'm just so frustrated. And I know I've talked a lot about this. This goes back to the hardwiring of those people on the side of liberty and those people on the side of subjugation, slavery, and so forth. They do not care. They don't care what you're going to have to suffer, what you're going to do. They're just trying to use enough propaganda to get many of those who are in the middle, who are working their way towards the side of subjugation, to get there, to finally say, you know what, we all need to be controlled. We all need to have laws that constrain us so much that we can't hurt ourselves anymore. That's where they want to take us. That's where we're heading if we do not actually turn ourselves around. And so with literally the 3 minutes I have left for this segment and going into the next segment, what I want to talk about is tomorrow, which is Thanksgiving. And I know that last Friday I played and read to you the proclamation, a national Thanksgiving that George Washington did in 1789. I want to kind of redo that. And so tomorrow I am going to replay that one show. And the reason I'm going to do that is because many people on the West Coast will be, having Thanksgiving at this time. But those of you on the East Coast and those of you in the hinterland, I want you to think about it. Play that show again and play it for your family. You could go and get the podcast, but we're going to be broadcasting it again. That way you can actually see from a macro view why and how we have literally been manipulated into thinking. And as I think about this, if you look at the whole failed socialism and Thanksgiving of the Pilgrims, it's not like we've ever really learned that lesson unless you really dig into it. And then you find out, wow, I mean, those people were really, screwed over, because in Jamestown, over half of the people died the very first year because they didn't have enough to share, because some people took more than their fair share. And so we don't have a good historical look in the Thanksgiving that we've been manipulated into thinking. And I think it's far more important. And just think how much farther we would be as a nation and as a republic if we had maintained the thought and the focus on service. Just remember that what Washington was calling for was not a Thanksgiving of, let's get together and have a pint and we'll eat good food and celebrate. It was a day of humility and service to be dedicated to him. And so how would you do that? How would you provide service for a day in remembering him? Would you go to maybe the senior citizen center? Would you go to maybe the Veterans Center? How would you provide service? Would you go and if you have family members that are indigent or out of work or maybe ill or what have you? Can you find some way in your life to be compassionate for somebody other than focusing on watching social justice warriors get paid an obscene amount of money so that they can hit the field and, you know, win a game and enjoy that while they're also trying to pursue socialism in our society. Well, with that, I'm at a hard break. But when we come back, I want to focus a little bit about, you know, those ideologies when we come back. So I'll be right back after this.
It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. I would love to have heard some little boy running into town in the late 1800s and the early 1900s when Teddy Roosevelt and the like were taking office and so forth, where that little boy running into town was saying, "The communists are coming, the communists are coming." Because today the communists are here. As we start really looking at people like Cortez, who has won her office and she is going in with the paradigm that she can do anything and everything she wants to, that she is not encumbered by our Constitution. We have others that are hiding behind the facade of the party line of the Democrat. And as I have read to you, and as you look at the party platform, you can clearly see that they are embracing, taking from those who have and giving to those who have not. The only thing that platform doesn't state is how they're willing to literally rip those things from your hands. They're kind of ambiguous on the form of getting the things that they need to be able to do that. But I want you to understand, my friends, that this nation was put on a course where people were left to themselves. They were able to make decisions, but they, and at a national grand level, the federal government had no influence on your day-to-day life. They had no jurisdiction in your day-to-day life. Your state government did. Your state government was providing you with the fundamental compassionate services such as education and, you know, infrastructure, you know, roadways and those types of things. But everything else was left to you. if we all of a sudden moved people who were living back in the early 1800s to today's time, they would be literally locked up and taken away. The children would be grabbed by Child Protective Services, because obviously we've gotten to a point where people, you know, have to live a very specific lifestyle. You got to understand that back in those days, people, even during Abraham Lincoln's time, they had these big log cabins, or whatever you want to call them. But the log cabin was a single room. It's not like they had individual. Everybody slept right there on the floor in the big room. They ate there. That's where they did their cooking. That's where they did their reading. That's where they did everything in that log cabin. And so that is unacceptable for people living like that today, because the standards, as we move along, they improve. And all of a sudden, those sanctimonious, that's a better word, the sanctimonious left, as they look at how you're living, that's not good enough. You shouldn't have kids. We're going to take your kids. Or even yet today, I see people that are losing their dogs. Okay, so I got to prepare you for this. We're aware of a person that had like 60 dogs. And this person lost their dogs because somebody reported them. I am not sure, and I don't think that there was any evidence, but let's just put this into a constitutional perspective. This person has a right to have dogs and raise them or what have you. Are we literally putting a limit? If you go to Korea, having 60 dogs means that you're a rancher, because in Korea, they eat dog. But here, apparently, you have to have a certain type of conditions for each of those dogs and so forth. And understanding that, you know, the people that usually have dogs and cats, it's not like they're trying to create a bad environment, but some people get overboard, and I don't know the circumstances, but the point is, in the Constitution, you're supposed to have due process first. And are we really, really throwing away due process? Because as far as I know, this person was just, the animal control came in, took the dogs, and there was no due process. And there is no offering of due process. If you want your dogs back, you have to pursue due process. What kind of society are we living? If you start looking at how we have been corrupted, or I should say, how we've been coerced into believing their agenda. I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. Christians read the scriptures on a regular basis so that they can understand the doctrines of the Bible. Christianity and whatever faith they have, whoever is reading the Bible, they do that so that they can understand the doctrines. I am telling you that when somebody comes along and starts perverting the doctrine of Christ, then, or of Judaism, or whatever the faith is, those who read the scriptures regularly recognize the perversion and they point it out. So it's kind of hard to get away with perverting one's religion unless everybody's on board with it. And I had a good friend in California that was fighting the church, or her particular church, because it was starting to promote the homosexual agenda. And she understood that that was a sin, and that there hasn't been any revelation and or any scripture to literally, you know, sanction that type of sin to making it okay. So she's fighting this paradigm, and those who are in the church with her, see, what's happened is she recognizes that she's become a minority of those who want to hold the line. And so she's actually watching her church shift from embracing the doctrines, the true doctrines, to the false doctrines. That's why you read the scriptures, and that's the whole point of my bringing this up at this point. So in likeness to that, or in the similitude of that, why is it important to read our founding documents? if you don't read the Constitution, if you don't read the ratification debates, then you will not understand the limitations and the concepts of the framers as they framed that document. I hear some conservative entertainers say, all I need is the Constitution to prove, you know, my point. And I'm telling you right now, no, you absolutely need the ratification debates to clearly understand what that line meant and what this line meant and how it was to be applied. Without the ratification debates, we have been sold down river by jurists, politicians, lawyers, bureaucrats, and so forth. And that is because there's a little bit of ambiguity. And in our vernacular today, some people do not understand the words and how they articulated these abridgments and these infringements and these rights that we supposedly have. And that's just talking about the Bill of Rights. But my point is that we're at a point where unless you're reading the Constitution, unless you're reading the founding documents, then you really don't understand how perverted the laws that we're living under. I know I've stated this before, but few of you may not have heard when I've read the Kentucky resolutions. Go read those. Jefferson clearly points out that the federal government really only has jurisdiction over a handful of laws. The whole fact that the Department of Justice exists and the laws that they've created, it boggles my mind because they don't have the authority in the Constitution. Even though the states may be saying, yeah, okay. The only process in doing that is the Article 5 process. You have to amend the Constitution for them to do it constitutionally. It's just like your employer. If your employer is going to give you gold instead of dollars, and they're going to give you an exchange, and they start walking down this path of saying, well, we instead of paying you in cash, we want to actually pay you in currencies and or really commodities. And so we're going to give you gold. And most people go, oh, okay, because they're going to give you free service for exchange so that you can get that money out immediately if that's what you want. But what they're giving you in access to this commodity exchange system is the currency, you know, gold or silver or what have you in your salary. Down the road, after you've completely accepted the fact that you are no longer being paid in U.S. dollars because your contract probably doesn't dictate that you have to be paid in a specific currency. And so down the road, after they've put you into the commodities exchange, let's just say your employer says, you know what, we're going to change the commodities we're paying you in. And instead of paying you in gold and silver, we're going to pay in pine cones or pay in wheat or potatoes. Those are commodities. Those are traded. But all of a sudden, you'll no longer have access to something tangible, and your contract is ambiguous. I'm telling you, my friends, our contract for the Constitution is not ambiguous. It's rock solid. And the ratifications tell us that. As you go into Thanksgiving tomorrow, I hope that you can start looking at where we need to be and what we need to be doing. Take a little time in reading. Take a little time in understanding the doctrines that our framers had literally put into place in instilling our constitutional republic. Consider those things of service. Consider those things of recognizing and being thankful for the great constitutional republic that we happen to enjoy today. If not, we are going to lose it. I am G.R. Mobley, and I will be back. I'm reclaiming the republic, but I need your help. God bless, and thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.